Blog Talk Radio.
I'm tired today, but the Lord has given us strength, so
That's right. That's right. I do want to thank you for joining us. I don't even have to say this evening because you join us every Sunday, kind of give you a little job there, you know.
I know. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, we do have a special guest joining us this evening. His name is Minister Daryl Kendricks. He's going to be calling in shortly. He's going to be our special guest this evening from 7 to 9.
Amen.
But if you wouldn't mind opening up in prayer for us, please.
Sure, absolutely. Gracious and eternal Father, Lord God, we come to this hour just to say thank you. Thank you, God, for watching over and keeping us throughout the day and watching over and protecting us throughout this day, Father God. Thank you for allowing us to come to this moment in time, O Lord God, as we continue on in worship and praise unto you on this day, Father God. We truly do love and adore you, and we're giving you all the honor, praise, and glory that's rightfully due your name. But, Father God, before we go any further, we just ask that you forgive us for anything that we may have done that's been knowingly and unknowingly not pleasing within your sight. Anything, Father God, that sin of omission and commission, we ask for your forgiveness. And now, God, we pray that you continue to bless those that will be a part of the program and the worship experience on this day, O Father God, at GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Bless the speaker that's going to be special guest that's going to be with us on this evening, Father God. Continue to just allow your spirit to move through him and through all those that will be participating, Father God, so that all things be done decently in order. Continue to bless the host, oh, Father God, Lavina Polite, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Continue to give her what she stands in need of, oh, Lord God, as she continues to do the work that you've assigned to her hands. Bless the owner, Rich Money, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Continue to encourage his heart, oh, Father God, as he goes forth in this ministry that you've established, oh, Lord God, for your people for such a time as this. Bless all those that are associated with GQ Palace, oh, Father God, all the staff and those that work, Father God, diligently to allow this ministry to go forth and to bless others, oh, Lord God. We pray that you continue to be with each and every one of them, oh, Father God, and just have your way in the lives of your listeners as well, oh, Father. Those that are going to tune in on this evening, oh, Lord, let them receive blessing from on high, and if they have any questions, oh, Father God, that need to be answered, we pray, dear Lord, that you provide that to them on this day and just give them, oh, Father God, a sense of encouragement, oh, Father God, knowing that you're with us each and every step of the way. We praise you, we honor you, we glorify you, we magnify you, we lift you up, and we pray all things that are done on this evening, Father God, will be done decently in order and to your glory and to your honor. And this is my humble prayer that I submit to you at this time. In the precious name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. I do thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
I do thank you. And before we get started, we're just going to go to a song real fast, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more, and then we'll bring on our special guest.
Amen.
Upon my heart, I didn't understand what it meant. I didn't understand what it was, but by the end of the day, end of that evening, I kind of was, I just knew that the life that I had been living up until that point was not the life that I wasn't comfortable. I wasn't at peace. And I really felt a conviction, and I didn't know what the word conviction meant at that time, except from a terminal standpoint. But I didn't understand what, you know, that the Lord was really reaching out to me and calling me to something better. And that evening, I made a phone call, and to my wife at that time, we were separated. And I told her I wanted my family back, and I started pursuing after God, but he was already looking for me. It wasn't ever, I didn't have to look too far. He was already looking for me, and that was the beginning. For about 6 years, I was studying and preparing myself for, I was in a Bible teaching church in Southern California at that time, and I started understanding what expository teaching was and expository preaching, and because I grew up with a lot of the traditional type teach, I guess you could say it wasn't teaching; it was more preaching. I'm not gonna bash nobody, but I wasn't growing. I did not grow or know anything growing up in the traditional Baptist church, because there was a lot of tradition, and there was no there was never anything that challenged me. Right. Up until that point, I had been living my life as a hellion. I was on my way to hell, and I was going full, I was 100% dedicated to what the world offers, the good life, I guess you could say. Sold out for the flesh, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That was me 100%. But when I came to know what it really meant to be born again and what it meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I never forget when I went into my first Christian bookstore. It was like going in Toys R Us for me, because at that time my spirit was so hungry for word, for the truth and the word, and I was like, what, they actually got study tools for this stuff? I was just blown away for going in there and finding it. I remember I still have my first Strong's concordance, I still have my first Vines dictionary, so those were just some of the basic tools that I got when I went there. But I think I was in there for about 3 or 4 hours that day. That was back in the 90s. But sad to say, I walked with the Lord for faithfully for about 6 years, and then I got sidetracked. The enemy came and attacked my family, in a sense of at that time I'd been married a little less than 10 years, but the enemy came and attacked my family, and by him doing that, anytime something happens to us, God is still, still in control, I think what I took my focus off of the cross, I took my focus off of my position and where I was, the direction God was calling me to go, and I got caught up again in the flesh, and ended up out there, back out there in the world for about 10 years. I would tell anybody that, hey, me personally, I believe if I had died, I don't believe a person could lose their salvation, but I believe if I had died, I would have went to hell, because I was worse than I'd ever been in my life, and I'll share some. I was, picking up prostitutes. I was living a life, very immoral life. I was, running the streets doing me, and I was a married man doing all of this, there was no, the conviction, I had shut the conviction off a long time ago, and that's why I said if I had died, I was going to hell, I moved from California in 2004, and still wretched, still chasing women, still doing what I wanted to do, but the Lord was still merciful to me. He still had his hand upon me, obviously, because he didn't let me die in the street, so, I guess it was in 2008, at that time my wife took me to the church that she was singing, and took me before that one of the elders and told him, hey, this is what my husband is doing. He's, involved in porn, he's having affairs, he's doing blah, blah, X, Y, and Z. And he said it real simple. He said, what are you doing? You know better than that. It was like a father talking to a child, but it was so simple. And it wasn't a lot of emotion, but at the end, less than 10 minutes later, I was bawling and crying, and I was just, I gave me up. And that was in March of 2008. And I've been fighting a good fight ever since. And I'll say it's been a journey, it's been an experience, but most of all, it's been a walk of grace. And I love God more and more each and every day, because I know that I should have died. And like I told you, Sister Lavia, I've had two open heart surgeries. I've had two heart attacks. Wife walked out again, but you know what? I'm still standing. And it hasn't been easy, but you know what? It's been interesting, because God, He promised He will never leave us or forsake us, and He has been faithful to that. He's been very faithful to me.
Amen. Amen. Now, I know you have a couple of things going on Blog Talk. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Did you say the radio ministries that I'm involved in?
Yes, on Blog Talk, yes.
Okay. Yes, I do a daily radio program. It used to be, I started in 2010. I was doing a two-hour program on Blog Talk Radio, and that was before I hooked up with my now church, current church, His Word, His Way Fellowship in Sugar Land, Texas, under Pastor Sickle Woods. I was doing the show, and that's how we met. We met through another radio ministry, but I started in September 2010, and I've done over probably 500 sermons on the Internet. I'm on 7 days a week right now, and I changed the format. It was called the Prodigal Church Hour. It's still that on the marquee, but it's more like 30 minutes in God's Word. I'm on at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, and I'm usually I pick a topic or a particular chapter of a book, and I'll go through that. And right now we're in Psalms 32, but I'm on 7 days a week, like I said, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, and it's just basically I call it a morning meal, where people can come and they can get their morning breakfast before they head off to work, by calling in or listening in on their iPhones, Android phones, and whatsoever. And I also do a two-hour show on Saturday nights on His Word, His Way, on the our church website, and that's at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and the calling number there is 858-365-5507. So last night I did my topic was on holiness, and I'm doing a series right now on Saturday nights, and it's called The Sin of Unbelief, and I usually give a topic. The Lord gave me a particular vision back when during the election, and he told me about, I was on blogging on Facebook, and I said, I don't know what people are thinking. I said, they must be reading out of the New American Immorality Bible. And that was just something I came off the top with. And that right there, my pastor said, he said, man, when you come back on the air, you need to run with that. I said, you know what, you're right. And so I've been running with it ever since, and every topic has been, it's basically, the world as we live in right now, especially the American culture we live in, where we've had the grace of God for so many years and decades now, it's become a very anti-Christ society we live in, especially in the black church, where we have, we make up 58% of the American churches, and coming out of L.A. and then even coming to Houston, Texas, you see so much anti-Christian values now. Where we have this many churches, there should be that much more light in the area. We shouldn't see gangbangers and drug addicts and prostitutes and thugs. They should not be running the neighborhoods if you have that many churches there. But the problem is that most people, most of these churches are dead churches. They're ran by Satan himself, and the church is Ichabod. And the glory of the Lord has departed these places a long time ago because pastors have not taken their position on it. But most of them are just apostates.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Now, Minister Weatherby?
Yes.
I heard you. Mm.
Absolutely.
I heard you. Mm,
Absolutely.
But I want to thank you for definitely being our special guest this evening. As I spoke to you earlier, Steph, you know, this is going to be great, you know, just being able to have you on and you being able to explain what you, what you're doing and how long you've been doing it and what exactly you feel gave you this calling. You know, was it everything that you were going through in your life, or was it something that was all of a sudden, it was like, you know what, if I don't change my life right now, then yes, you know, the way the circumstances are, then yes, I am going to hell. What made you say, you know what, I'm going to accept, I'm going to accept God and just give my all for him? What made you do that?
I think I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. The women had, you know, it came down to it where sex was, you know, it just wasn't fulfilling enough. I didn't really have, never have a drug or drinking problem. It was always, my drug of choice was always women. And it's kind of funny now because God has given me a lot of sisters that I can minister to and minister with. And, you know, there's, I'm not in bondage to that. They don't have to feel threatened behind me or with me because God has delivered me from that. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to be stupid and do something or put myself in positions where, you know, I can't get out of. No, you have to be wise and everything. But, one of the things I'm compelled to do, and I'll share this, I've been celibate for a year and 3 weeks yesterday, and I'm proud to say that. I'm 47 years old. I'm not a bad-looking dude. I've been celibate for a year and 3 weeks, and I plan on staying that way. Me and my wife are still married, but whatever happens, I'm going to make sure I'm faithful to God, and I fear him too much, and I understand what he's done for me. You know, last year in January, I was in the hospital. I had two heart attacks. They had to put a stent in. I've had a triple bypass. And, you know, during that time, God, you know, last year, I'll tell anybody, that was the worstest year of my life. Worstest year. I've been to Desert Storm. I've been through some stuff. But last year was the worstest year of my life going through what I was going through because I didn't know if I was going to be able to go back to truck driving because I couldn't get cleared medically. But one thing that came out of that was that doing all the pain, doing all the suffering, and I was deep in the valley of the shadow of the death. God was still with me. He was still with me. He was comforting me. I had brothers and sisters that held me up in prayer. They walked with me through these things. Sometimes, you know, they can be walking with you, but if nobody's really going through what you're going through, they really can't experience what you're going through. So, one of the things that was a blessing is the fact that God was letting me know that, you know, I'm pruning you. I'm pruning you and preparing you, and you may not see it right now. And it wasn't until right at the end of the year that I started seeing a ray of sunshine, and God started, you know, giving me comfort. He started really ministering to me and showing me that, you know what, I got some great plans for you, son. Just be faithful. Just hold on, and I'm going to use you. And first of the year, I started back on the radio on our church website on Saturday nights, and you know, and then I started doing the 30-minute program every day. And my whole focus, I think, when God gave me this third chance, I knew that it was about souls. It wasn't about me. Whether God ever blesses me with another wife or anything else, I know that my mission on this planet until I die is for souls. And then I believe that's my calling, is to reach out to the lost and the prodigals, because I was one of them.
Amen. Amen. Now, you do know that, of course, you know, but your testimony itself with having an addiction to women and not being on any type of drugs or anything like that, but just having, be willing to accept the fact that that was, you know, the issue, and for you to be celibate and still, you know, be married to your wife and just have the understanding, like, you know what, I'm going to do God's work, you know, no matter what. And if God decides that he wants to send you another wife, then and all, you know, all due respect, you will be able to, you know, fully commit to that person, but with God being first and being the head of your life, you know. So I definitely commend you on that. Minister Weathersby, would you like to say anything?
Oh, amen, absolutely. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And, you know, God has a way of bringing us to that point where that he's ready to move in our lives. I mean, He's always preparing us and equipping us for whatever work that he has for us to do. And our experiences that we do have, as bad as they may seem to us, and many of us have had bad experiences, that's all a part of what God will utilize for us as we minister to those that are going through similar type of situations. So when I look at my, you know, and when I listen to people talk, give their testimonies, when I'm mindful of my own, I never look at it in a negative type of a situation where I'm beating myself up for what I've done in my past, because again, that's all a part of what God used to bring me to where I am today and where He brought us today. And once you come into the knowledge and the understanding of God has purpose for us to do, then it becomes incumbent upon us to do what needs to be done. Because at that point in time, you don't have no excuse. And I commend my brother for his dedication and commitment to having that relationship with the Lord and letting the Lord be primary in his life, which is what we all should do. And on the area of celibacy, I can chime in with you on that, my brother, and I can tell you that God is able. If we want to be kept, we can be kept.
Hallelujah.
But we have to want to be kept, because I can tell you that the power of God is infinite. There's no lacking in what the Lord can do, because personally, this is my testimony. I have people that flip out when I tell them because they don't believe it. But you know what? You just have to understand the power of God. I've been saved now 17 years. 17 years I've been saved, but I've been celibate for more than 21 and a half years, since I got originally separated from my ex-wife and eventually became, that did become my ex-wife, and up until now. And that's only by the grace of God that I've been able to be kept. But I've been want to be kept, because 4.5 of those years I was unsafe.
Come on, man.
I was unsafe. So it's just a testimony to the power of God, and there's nothing that's impossible for Him. We just have to trust Him and believe Him, and then once you get your mind made up and you get committed and you're sold out to do the will of the Father, then there's nothing that you cannot do, and there's nothing that He will not do for us. Because the Bible says He will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Amen. What I want to do is just go to a song real fast, and then we'll be right back on the air. Everyone just hold on, okay?
All right.
Amen.
Molly, let's go get him.
Give me that joy I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll ease my pain. Come on, that love that'll never change. Give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that. Give me that power to walk away when another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that, give me that.
Oh, anybody ready?
Oh,
ready for His glory?
Oh,
if you are sick of a life,
oh,
let me tell you the story.
Oh,
every place that's dark, He will bring it to light.
Uh-oh.
Hypocritical hearts, backsliders, liars, time to get right.
Uh-oh.
See, I include myself.
Uh-oh.
I cast my own stone.
Uh-oh.
I'm the man in the mirror, y'all.
Uh-oh.
I can see my wrong.
Uh-oh.
But I'm here by grace. Through Christ by faith.
Uh-oh.
I had to make that choice. I had to open up my mouth and say,
give me that joy I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll ease my pain. Want that love that'll never change. Give me that,
give me that,
give me that,
give me that.
Give me that power to walk away when another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that,
give me that,
give me that.
Oh,
anybody tired? Want the show to end?
Uh-oh.
Get the actors off stage.
Uh-oh.
And let church begin.
Uh-oh.
Do you want a revolution?
Uh-oh.
You want to hear new songs?
New songs.
See, God is cleaning up house.
Uh-oh.
At first he's starting right at home.
Uh-oh.
Fill my miracle water.
Uh-oh.
Wear clothes for money and fame.
Uh-oh.
See, everybody got a title. But do you know your name?
Uh-oh.
If we humble ourselves, people,
uh-oh,
fall on our face,
uh-oh,
and ask right, take it away.
Yeah, give me that joy that I can't explain. An extra peace that'll ease the pain. I want that love that'll never change. Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Ooh, I want the power to walk away. When another God wants to take your place. As much of you, Lord, as I can take.
I see you.
Give me that.
One more time.
Give me that.
One more time.
Yeah, give me that. God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that. Give me that. And I choose you today. Cause I need you today. I can't get away. See the snow escape. See what you've done to me. I'm not the same old me. You took away everything. Of man, sovereign God who predestined creation before time began. I want the God who with brilliance and elegance decorated darkness with stars. The God who orchestrates the future at the same time he knows where you are. Give me that God who supplies my needs because he owns all the cattle on the hill. And he's the God who wipes my tears and provides enough to pay all my. And give me that God, that's what I'm talking about.
Give me that
give
God,
me that God, that's what I'm talking about.
God.
Give me that, give me that, give me that.
Sunday. Is everybody still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I just want to make sure I give the phone line, the number to call in is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air. If you're listening from your PC, you can always leave a comment in our chat room or you can talk to us via Facebook and in the general question forum, as well as you can call in at 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air, or you can just dial the number to listen to the show. I just want to make sure that I give a little bit of my testimony. But before I give my testimony, Minister Weathers, please, if you'd like to give yours. Or how you been from last Sunday to this Sunday? I know you're busy on a daily basis.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said, I know you're busy on a daily basis, but would you like to catch us up with how you've been doing and what you've been doing from last Sunday to this Sunday?
I'm sorry. You know, Lavina, I didn't hear that too good.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. That's better. Okay. Minister Kendrick, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it sounded like something ruffling in the background during the time you asking the question. So that's
right.
Why I think sometimes it blocks out the actual question.
How's that? Is that better?
Yes,
that's better.
Okay, I have to stop moving around when I'm talking. That's the thing. But I was asking Minister Weathersley if you'd like to just bring us up to date with how you've been and what you've been doing during the course of the week.
Oh sure, absolutely. Well, I'm involved in a ministry that began the beginning of the year at a rehabilitation center that was recently opened a couple of months ago here in the city of Wilmington. So I'm the one that I volunteer there, and I'm assigned to do Bible studies every Tuesday morning. But I generally go every day because I have that flexibility because I was fortunate enough to be able to retire from federal employment after 29 years in January 2009. So I have a lot of flexibility there. So I try to go there every day. We were on a restriction for most of this week because there was a stomach virus going around. So I just visited people in their rooms and talked with several residents for quite some time. And that's a good part of the ministry there. I'm trying to work with my publisher on the second book that I've written that's right now in production and hopefully in the final stages of production for it to be hopefully be out there fairly soon, dealing with family relationships. It's a companion to the one that I did on marriage relationships. And once that book is out, I plan on allowing the Lord to do what he would have me to do in areas of ministry there, because those are my primary ministries, family and marriages. And, of course, just being active with my church, I teach Sunday school for the adults on Sunday morning, and we're just being blessed there. And I've just been trying to stay active and doing what God will have me to do.
Amen.
You're an extremely busy man. I mean, I would like to say I'd like to retire, but I think I have a long time to go.
Well, I put in a long time to get there, and I'm old. That's how you can retire. You got to reach a certain age, and I reached that age, and praise God, I was able to retire.
Amen. Now, I'll just bring everyone up to date. I had a stressful week. At my job, I actually work with teenage girls from the age of 13 to 19. And I would say, like, we've been tested the last past couple days because we have this new patient who is autistic. And some people know a lot about, you know, autism, but I don't. You know, that's one thing that I don't know too much about. So I found myself coming home looking on the computer and just trying to find out different ways to help her. You know, because she is autistic, but she also has Tourette's. So when she goes into moments where, like, she has these loud outbursts, the outbursts, you know, that she has from time to time are the outbursts that just, like, continue going and going and going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to.
There will be mountains that I will have to climb.
Sunday. I just need everyone to bear with me for a quick second. I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties here. So I'm just going to go to another song. I do apologize, and then we'll be back on the air in a few seconds, okay?
Amen.
Alrighty. Amen.
Everything that you gave, times when danger was around me, my life, Lord, you saved. Where would I be without your love? Where would I be without your grace? You didn't have to do it, but I'm glad you did. Can't pretend that what I got it on my own. Every move that I made, can't say I've never been wrong. When I fell, you picked I can always depend on you, whatever I need. Hey,
Welcome back to Geeky Power Spiritual Sunday. I do want to thank everyone for being with me for a minute there. We have technical difficulties, but the phone lines are now open. The number to call in is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air. But I was sharing my testimony of my week, so to speak. So I found myself doing my homework, you know, on autism, and in all reality, it's a lot to learn. And I didn't go to school, you know, to learn it, which is something that, you know, was kind of like dropped into our hands, you know, at my employment. So the patient is autistic, but she also has Tourette's. And, you know, Tourette's is the loud outburst that she can just say anything at any given time. Well, with this particular patient, she has a favorite word, which is, you know, female dog word. So having her yelling that word and then yelling and then screaming and then rolling on the floor, I found myself praying a lot all week, the last half, like 4 days. You know, but I knew, of course, that, you know, I can go online and I can educate myself with it, but at the same time, it's educating everyone else that's there that's working with me, you know, on the shift that I work there. It was a task, I must say. It was a task. You know, and then I have another one who has to be like 6'4". You know, she's literally 6'4", about 200 pounds, and only thing she knows is the street life. You know, where I work at a psych facility, but this one particular person only knows the street life, you know, where everything is pretty much putting her hands on people. That's all she knows. So I found myself praying a lot, you know, just trying to make sure that everyone stays calm and on the same page and what's going on and, you know, what we should pretty much do to, you know, help the patients out. So my testimony for the week is that I was able to pray, and then today being Sunday, yesterday I finally came up to, like, a conclusion of what I needed to do to help these patients. Well, not really I mean, I'm going to say with the grace of God, I was able to figure it out, you know, because it was right there in front of my face. It was just a matter of being able to deal with it and relay the message to, you know, to some of the people who didn't have knowledge about it the same way I did. So that's what I'm going to even say that my testimony. I'm going to say that's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for when I was able to sit down and pray that my answer, you know, that my question was answered, you know, and I was given the knowledge and understanding to be able to help these patients out on a different level. So that's what I'm thankful for today. And, of course, you know, it's an everyday struggle, of course, with my fiancé, with him being a diabetic. You know, the sugar has been extremely high lately. And, you know, he's been doing his part. It's been hard. You know, it's been hard. It's been, you know, a lot of work, you know, changing the whole eating habits and still the sugar being extremely high. So, you know, I'm praying. You know, and I'm thankful that all is well with him and, you know, he's still able to maintain and still able to function even though, you know, the sugar has been extremely high. That's what I'm thankful for. So, of course, anyone that is a diabetic that has some knowledge to someone who does have diabetes, please, you know, definitely share, you know, exactly your knowledge and what you can say and what you understand and, you know, just give different tips of being able to help us as well as educate us with this illness as well. So I wanted to share that. So and Mom is doing good. She's also a breast cancer survivor at this point. She's been doing extremely well. She's back at work. Her surgery went great. So just bringing everyone up to date with everything that has been going on in my immediate, you know, circle. So I must say we do have a lot of callers. So if you'd like to go on the air, please press the number 1 button so that you can go on the air, or you can just continue to listen to this song and listen to the show. And with that being said, we are going to go to a song, and then we come back and we're going to bring on a caller, okay?
Okay.
Amen.
like a treasure hunt that searches for a gem. Like a fallen soldier searches for his men. I can't make it without you, Lord. I surrender to you once again.
Welcome back to GC Palace Spiritual Sunday. Is everybody still there?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Yes, we
we're
are.
We're going to bring on our first caller. Welcome to GC Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Yes, you can. This is Rachel. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing a little bit better than last weekend, I'll tell you that.
That's good. And I did keep her on the phone, I'm just saying.
thank you. I just wanted to come on really quick to say how grateful I am to God that first and foremost, He woke me up this morning, planted my feet on solid ground. I've had a rough couple of weeks, but my trust is definitely with the invincible man. I'm definitely holding strong to God's hand, Lavina, Minister Weber. I want to thank y'all for all y'all prayers. Good evening to the guests that you have on tonight. I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful to see another day, and I pray that I will continue on. And y'all know I'm going to ask for prayer, as I always do. And I love y'all. And I will continue to pray for y'all too.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And of course, we do thank you for calling in. We know where you are. I'll fill them in on where you are.
Okay. Thank
and
you.
Remember the show, we'll pray, okay? Thank you.
Yes.
Just to give you for you guys, and that's Rachel. She always calls in each week. Asking for a prayer, and she's always at work 7 days a week. She is a hard-working woman, always at work. Every single show she's at work. But she had a rough couple weeks, like she said, and she's definitely looking for prayer. You know, sometimes the devil's busy in your life, and We just try to stay encouraged and encourage each other, you know, the
Amen.
Best way that we can. So at
Amen.
The end of the show, thank you. Amen. At the end of the show, we're definitely going to pray for anyone that's requesting prayer. We're going to bring on another caller. Welcome to GC Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm doing good. How everybody doing?
All right, sir.
I'm doing fine. Doing fine.
Right.
Well, my testimony is first, I thank him for waking me up and guiding me through my day, which I do, you know. Other than that, I'm just happy to be alive until he called me home.
Amen. Amen. Now, I know you're probably going to kill me for this one. But, yes, Jeremy's my brother. And he said something to me, I want to say, like 2 weeks ago, I think, Jeremy. And,
yes.
About 2 weeks ago. And it's been on my mind so much. And I know he knows what it is, right?
Maybe.
Uh-huh. About that. I'll say that. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you. I'm trying to think what it is. I'm not so sure what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, he texted me, right? And he gave me a message that was given to him. And I've been meaning to call, you know, Minister Weathersby. We call him for everything. And I was meaning to call him to ask him, what does it mean? And I'm sure everybody's going to get me for this one. But what does it mean when... I'm going to say the spirit talks to you and, no, I'm going to rephrase that. What does it mean when someone who has moved on, who has passed, and you feel that you're, that speaks to you and lets you know that everything is okay? Did I word that right? Or did I
confuse Okay, I got you now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mainly through music, or I be thinking about certain things that I be thinking about them a lot. So that's why I said they're gone, but they're not forgotten.
That's right.
I mean, but sometimes it comes through the music.
That's right. Okay. Because that had me worried. I know everyone's like, what are these two talking about on the air?
Yeah, I'm kind of worried. I'm kind of wondering.
Sometimes I don't know why. Every the things I do, I don't understand them. They just happen. I don't try to explain them. I just do as it is. I just follow my hands, put it like that.
Okay.
No.
Now can I share?
Yes.
Okay. So Jeremy's my brother, like I said, and he has sent me a message, and he has said that our dad, who had passed away, he's been gone for several years now, and that I'm probably going to get the complete message wrong, but to sum it up, the message is just saying that that he loves us, you know, that he loves us and pretty
yes,
much
his baby girl.
Yeah, you know, to his favorite girl. I have to say that part. And out of the blue, when I tell you, I picked up my phone and I saw the message, and I'm like, what is he talking about? You know, because our dad has passed on. So I've been meaning to ask that question, because some people say that when you receive a message like that, that it's a message because the person hasn't received, you know, closure. And I wanted to know, the spiritual leaders, how do you feel about that? Do you feel that sometimes something like that can happen, or you feel like it's some closure that we need? How do you feel?
You want to take that first, Minister?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, go ahead, sir. Special guest.
Wait, Minister Weatherby, okay, you said no for the first time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the Bible is very clear, and I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe everybody that has left this earth in Christ, there with the Lord. We don't see any evidence of anybody coming back. We see the parable of when Jesus was talking to the rich man and Lazarus. He was given a parable about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man wanted to come back to warn his brothers. He said they had the prophets. They had Moses and the prophets. If they didn't believe him, how would they believe if anyone comes from the dead? We have to realize that in this timetable, Satan is a master of deceit, and he loves to deceive. He loves to counterfeit. I hope I'm not being insensitive and saying this. We got palm readers on every corner around here.
That's right.
We got soothsayers. We got all kinds of people dealing in the world of the occult, and all that is mysticism. And basically, that's reaching out to the dead. You know, the living are reaching out to the dead, and Satan is basically counterfeiting these things and a lot, you know, giving us so-called dreams and visions that don't line up with Scripture. And we have to test every spirit by the Word of God. You know, the Bible says test the spirits to see if they are of God. So that's 1 John chapter 3. So I think it's important that we don't put a lot of emphasis on things. You know, a lot of these people are writing books now about they went to heaven, they went to hell, and I just don't see any, you know, anything biblically to support that. And if we can't test it with the Word, we need to look at the master of lies, the father of lies. That's Satan himself. This is what he does, and you see it. I think it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He tells, God says that at the end times, he's going to send a strong delusion that they're going to be damned. They'll believe the lie that Satan has sold, and that's because they reject the one and only true and living God. And we have to be very careful about that in these last days, because there's just so much counterfeit religions, things that's going on in the household of writing Christianity on Christendom. People are basically, you know, trying to line that up and say, oh, it's a new move of God. Well, God isn't doing any new moves outside of his word.
Amen.
Now, do you think that it's a matter of we are not, we're not dealing with acceptance, you know, or there's closure that we need, that maybe that's the reason why, you know, because I know me personally, I know I have a plan. And I have a plant that I brought back from South Carolina when my dad passed. And the plant that I brought back, it's still living, you know. And I believe that, you know, in my mind, whenever I'm doing good and I'm doing the right thing, the plant grows. But whenever I'm not, the plant doesn't. You think that's
kind of
like a delusion in my head, pretty much?
I think that's a way of us trying to hold on. I mean, I lost my first wife in 89. I was in my mid-20s. She died of cancer, and I wanted to hold on to her. She was 10 years older than me, but not one time did I, you know, and I wasn't a believer then when she died, but. I know she came to know the Lord. She was paralyzed for almost 10 months while she was going through the cancer right at down in San Antonio at Fort Sam Army Medical Center. But, I wanted to hold on to things. I had things that I kept as little memorandums. Even to this day, you know, like every day, and I've told only a handful of people this, that I'm a truck driver, and every day there's a bird that'll fly past my truck. Sometimes two or three, but it's just, you know, and I attribute that out. In my mind, I attribute that as something spiritual, but I'm not going to make a whole biblical a chapter that, you know, I'm not getting ready to say, oh, God is speaking to me through the birds, but, you know, in my mind, in my own mind, that's comfort for me that, hey, God is flying with me or he's with me every day. But if I see that bird or don't see that bird, I know he's with me because I'm one of his children, but. I think we like to hold on and to those memories, and there's nothing wrong with holding on to a plan or anything. I lost my father in 2005, and I would like to have memories, and I have little things that remind me of him. But you know, we can
kind of put a lot of mysticism into things with visions and so-called dreams and so-called voices, and we've got to be very careful because I've heard people, you know, say things that they had this or something like this went on, and, you know, I believe that Satan is the mastermind behind a lot of this. Well, especially when we're talking about once you're dead, once you leave this earth realm, there's no coming back. We don't find anywhere in Scripture that anybody's coming back. We're either going to be with the Lord forever in eternity, or those who have rejected Christ, those who don't know Jesus Christ, they spend eternity in, separated from Him in hell. And I know that's a hard truth, but it is the truth, you know. And I know in today's church world, a lot of people are trying to deny it, hell in the other self, but there's only one or two places we spend eternity in. I don't see anything in Scripture that would show us that we can come back.
Okay. So, Minister, author, before you answer, if you would like to answer, I'm going to bring on another caller, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? Okay, let's see, 1 second.
Hello?
Hello, welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Yes, it's Teresa. How are y'all doing?
Good, how are you?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I want to say what I'm grateful for and have a question for the special guest.
Okay.
I'm thankful and grateful for just being here. I don't have everything I want, you know, but for today I do have what I need. It's so much that I'm praying for and hoping for the Lord to bless me with, but I am thankful and grateful for what He's already blessed me with. And I have a question for the special guest. What encouragement, what would you say to the person who has, they made it from what was, and they're trying to make it to what will be, but they're having a hard time dealing with what is. And, you know, so many bad things happen to a lot of people who are doing right, and the more you love, people take your kindness for like a weakness. Because you don't go off on someone, they feel that you're afraid. You know, they misconstrue just a good all-around person of God. You know, and it's just anybody, no one in particular. What encouragement and what would you say to that person who's trying to deal with what is? How would you encourage them to make it to what will be? And just dealing with life and to understand that about why God is saying to be happy when tribulation comes and understand it's a process they have to go through. I know it's a most
good
part
question.
Whatever you...
No, it's a good, question, though. Good question. Like I said, last year was one of the hardest times in my life, but I know why I went. I repeated that trial again because I had failed it back in 1998. And the Bible says that, you know, if we suffer for righteousness' sake, you know, that's where we're in a good place. Then, you know, I believe it's in 1 Peter. It's in 1 Peter. He tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2. He talks to us about how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in the midst of the storms, and how we're supposed to you know, continue to fight the good fight. I'm sorry, it's in First Peter chapter 3. He tells us in verse 8, Finally, all of you, have you unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you of the reason and the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And he goes on even more to talk about, for Christ also suffered once in the, for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And I'm going to tell you this, and this is something that's not being taught in many churches nowadays, is that you're not supposed to suffer for righteousness' sake. Most Christians don't want to die, or they don't want to suffer anything. We want everything to be easy. We want everything laid out for us. But because we have an example of one who suffered greater than any of us, and we were to, if you would take the billions of people on this planet that are Christians and stack them up, Christ did way more suffering than any one of us. God poured his wrath out on his own son. He had no sin on him. He came in this world sinless, perfect. He was a lamb without spot or wrinkle. But Christ bore our sins, and yet we don't want to suffer for anything. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'll say that sometimes we have to go back and examine ourselves to see, you know, if there's anything that we have that's, you know, like unconfessed sin in our lives, if there's anything that we might be, any doors that we have not let Christ, we keep in closed in our heart. One of the things that I was, as I've been teaching in Psalms, out of Psalm 32, David is talking about unconfessed sin and how his body was vexed. And one of the things is that we think sickness is always, I don't say we, professing believers and things that are being taught in the church nowadays is that every sickness and disease is of the devil. Well, David is going through great hardship. Why? Because he had unconfessed sin because he had slept with Bathsheba. He covered his other man's wife. He murdered this man. He set him up. So we see David, the man after God's own heart, being vexed in his spirit. And why? Because he had unconfessed sin. And as I've been reading this and studying this, I see so much. A lot of times our sicknesses are because of our own denial of sin that we might be holding on to, or sins we might not have confessed yet. And I'm not saying that's going on with you. My encouragement to you and to all of us is to make sure that we're confessing daily. I think sometimes we've been taught that once you confess in 1990, you don't need to confess no more. No, we need to be confessing every single day, because there's things we're doing in our bodies, in our minds, thought, word, or deed. Paul Washer says that one of the most dangerous Christians is an unconfessed Christian, one who refuses to confess his sins continuously. And when we don't want to confess continually, guess what? We build up more and more sin. We start getting comfortable with sin. And that's how people end up in these so-called backslidden states. So I would say the most encouraging thing is that we need to examine ourselves on a daily basis. When we get up in the morning, we need to just go straight before the Lord. Lord, I confess whatever I'm doing, whatever I've done, whatever I thought while I was asleep. And we need to openly share that with God. He already knows. He already knows. But it keeps us clean. God wants to have fellowship with us, but he cannot fellowship with us when we're unclean. Another thing is that, and I'll say this, particularly to my sisters, because it's going on more and more. Stop getting played by ungodly men. Don't be played. Don't give your flesh away to mess. He's not your husband. Stop selling out. See, y'all have more power than y'all admit. Y'all have more power. Because a woman says no, he has either gonna move on or he has to take it. But if you say no, if you set the standards immediately that, no, I am a woman of God. And I hear this from so many women. We got more women in the church now, but we seem to have more pregnancies coming up with unmarried women. And it's time out for the shenanigans. God knows that if you're having dates with people at 12 o'clock at night, if you're going unaccompanied with people on dates, you set yourself up.
Yeah. We can't be trusted. We can't trust ourselves. We are, Dr. McGee said, we're some of the worstest, we're our worstest enemy. We are our worstest enemy. And we keep playing with our flesh. And then we wonder, oh, why he don't call me no more? He was sent by the enemy.
Yes.
Don't you understand? Satan got disciples, and they come into the church, and they hang out with the sheep, but they're really wolves gnawing on your leg, and you're petting them.
Amen.
We're petting sheep. We're petting wolves, and we don't see because we're not asking God to send us godly people. We want, it's funny because this topic has been on my mind for a long time. In the African American community, there's 20, at least minimum, 20 women for every one black African American male. We start chopping away the 17% of the demographic that we make up in this country, and you start looking at guys on that's gay, in the penitentiary, on the down low, thugged out, and you start chopping that down, y'all still give us 20, it's 20 to 1, cause, and it's less than 1% of them are born again black men. Less than 1%. We got a lot of folks in the church, but we don't have a lot of saved folks, and we don't have a lot of saved men.
Right.
So you need to be asking God for nothing but a God-fearing man. And a God-fearing man, he wants your heart. He doesn't want your body first.
That's right.
A God-fearing man wants to build you up in your faith. And he wants a God-fearing woman.
That's right.
He wants a woman that's sold out for the cross. So it's easy. Can I say this? It's easy to get laid. It's easy for any of us to get laid, but it's hard to find a God-fearing man, a God-fearing woman. Hey, what is Proverbs 31? He says about the she's like a jewel, a priceless jewel. Who can find her? She's rare. And women are asking for Boazes, but they're going to the clubs and dropping it like it's hot to get a Boaz. You're getting trash. You're not getting Boaz. There's no Boaz there.
Wow.
He's going to get to the motel, and he ain't going to call you no more. This is my admonition to the sisters. Stop getting played. Stop. Close the legs. Put a lock on it. To God opens. To God gives you a godly man. But see, I know that most men are out here are already in their flesh. The mentality in the black church is, I'm going to church and find me a God. I'm going to find me a church girl because they freaks.
Amen.
If we start practicing what we say we are, I promise you, wolves can't come in your. They can't come to your house. The wolves can't come to your house.
Amen.
Thank you so much for those words of encouragement.
Yes, we're going to go.
Pray that it was edifying, sister.
Oh, yes, it was. For everybody that was listening.
Amen. And you know, he said a couple of things that were very important, too. Prayer and being honest with ourselves. You know, what? Essentially, I had someone share this with me. What we end up doing is we lying and we don't even know it. When you're not even considering the fact that you've sinned and have not repented to the Lord, then you're lying to yourself. And we do it so often, we do it so repetitively that we don't even know we're lying.
That's
a sad state to be in. That's truly a sad state to be in. And essentially, it just comes down to the matter of what do we want to do? We want to be faithful and truthful to God, or do we want to continue on in a lie? And I'm very in agreement with my brother, particularly about relationships, because too much and too often the primary focus of a relationship is not where it should be, which should be on God to establish and build that relationship, as opposed to what I like and what I feel. And how I feel about a person, how I like you and how I feel about you, which is where we generally go to build our relationships, as opposed to going to God and starting there. Because if there's no God, then you know what? I'm going to tell you got a failed relationship in waiting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's flat out doomed. That's why Psalms 127a says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor that build it. Unless the Lord builds the house,
they labor in vain.
That build it. That's right. Amen. You just working and nothing's gonna come of it. You're doing all that work. Unless the Lord is the foundation of it, all that work you putting into it, you might as well not have done anything, because it's not gonna last, it's not gonna stand, it's not gonna edify you at all, as a whole. And clearly, we have to understand that our relationships and how we interact with God is something that we have to put primary focus on, because the Lord, He has not changed over the, from the very beginning up until now, from Genesis to Revelation. He has not changed. He said, I change not. I'm God. I'm the same God yesterday. I'm the same God today, and I will be forevermore. And yes, he still believes in holiness.
Amen. And
he still believes in holiness. That has not changed. In spite of some of the things that we've allowed to infuse us within our churches, it's almost akin to what happened in the day when Jesus was around and he talked to those that questioned him about, well, what about divorce? What about divorce? You know, because of the hardness of your heart, God allowed Moses to come up with some excuses for you. But I tell you, it was never meant from the beginning for you to be separated. Unless there was a adultery involved, and so therefore God is very clear about that. We are not to allow things to cause us to venture off and separate us from not only just one another in marriage, but also with Him as well, because there's a direct correlation with that. In our relationships and how we deal with one another in marriage and in family, I'm very clear on that, because the Lord has presented that to me, that if we're not doing it right in those two relationships, guess what? You're not doing it right with the Lord.
That's right.
And you're lying and denying the truth therein. You're just flat out lying and don't even know it. If you believe that you're doing everything that you can do that's pleasing to God, then you're not understanding what the Word of God is saying to us.
Minister Weathersby. We're going to go to a song, and then we're going to bring on another caller, okay? Is everybody just
sure.
on the line?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Could be. It's like every time I take one step, something's right in front of me. Lord, where would I be without your grace and mercy? Oh, now I have one question, Lord, why? I'll never know. My life was headed out of control. Somehow I shifted into overload. But then you came and did a work in me. Out of everything I once was, somehow you saw a masterpiece. Thank you, Lord. to me that was a mystery.
Welcome back to DC Palace for Sunday. Is everybody still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we're going to bring on another caller. Welcome to DC Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Hi, this is Minister Lisa.
How you doing, Minister Lisa?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing pretty good this evening.
I just wanted to comment very briefly. The brother got me over here going. I mean, he was all in my Kool-Aid. I like to always tell the sisters that, you know, the devil knows Genesis to Revelation.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of sisters in church, just because a brother can preach or because a brother knows the word, they're courting them instead of seeking God. And,
well, no.
You know, God tells us that we need to pray to become a bride. A lot of marriages are breaking up in the body, in the church, because nobody's praying to be a bride. Everybody's just praying to get a husband or to get a wife so they can have sex, and nobody's seeking God.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
one of the things
Say
that God showed me is that, you know, God gives us what we need in a mate. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
A lot of, you know, before we got saved, we were picking men and picking women, and we were picking what we like. Well, we don't know
mm-hmm.
what we need.
What?
So, but if we see God, God sends us what we need. He
mm-hmm.
may, he or she may not look like everything we want them to look like, but they got down on the inside what we need to fulfill our purpose in life. You understand what I'm saying?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And so I like to tell the sisters, because one of my girlfriends, she married, he's her ex-husband now, but the man could preach. He knew the Bible. But as soon as they got married, he started beating on her. And the Bible says, try to spirit by the Spirit know that it is of God. And so many sisters nowadays, they get tired of waiting on God, and they're jumping into these relationships with these brothers just because it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to tell people that, you know what, they that wait on the Lord, yes, he shared New York trip, but he's going to bring you something that was worth waiting on.
Mm-hmm.
So, brother, when I tell you you was right on the money, they need more men and women of God to talk the way you was just talking. See, what's wrong is sex is being taught in the church is so taboo. Folks don't want to talk about sex in the church. They want to just talk about, yeah, it's okay to date, and it's okay for this, that, and other. Well, you need to, first of all, you need to know where he comes from, because he could be a brother on the down low. He could come from being a homosexual, or she can. You know, nobody is seeking God, and God, send me who you got for me. Send me somebody
mm-hmm.
that's going to help me shut my big mouth. Send me somebody that's going to love me through all my low self-esteem. You know, people ain't being real with God.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
I mean, God, nothing to work with. You know, I come from the streets. I come from, you know, gangbanging and you know, selling drugs and all those type of things. So I know what was in me. I know what demons try to walk side by side with me. So I say, God, you got to send me a strong man that's going to help love me past my anger, because I'm not down with that angry black woman syndrome. And I want to be the type of woman that show brothers that we ain't all bitter. We ain't all angry. And a lot of us know how to be submissive. But that's not
mm-hmm.
being taught in the church. Being submissive ain't being taught in the church. A woman's position ain't being taught in the church. A man's position ain't being taught in the church. I'm sorry, y'all. That's my son. I'm doing my mama duties, and I still have to call in.
That's right. That's right.
But I just wanted to share that, you know, that you in the money, and don't let nobody. People don't want you to preach at their church, and that's not the church for you, because
right.
that needs to be taught in the church. Sisters, wait. What God got for you, it's worth waiting on. And you mad at the brother. You can't get mad at the brother if he hit it and quit it. You can't get mad at him.
That's right.
Well, no.
You ain't make him, men are hunters. You ain't make him hunt, you ain't make him earn nothing. That's in his nature to hit it and quit if you ain't make him earn it to appreciate it.
That's right. And once you give it, you can't take it back.
You mad at everybody. See, one thing I loved about David, even though David was an adulterer, even though David was a murderer, David was a man after God's own heart, because as soon as he realized that he displeased God, he repented.
Hallelujah.
And he tried to get that
Hallelujah.
Thing right with God. The problem with leaders now in the church, when the Holy Spirit is pulling on them to convict them to come down to the altar, they're so worried about what man is going to think when God has said, I'm trying to raise the bar. I'm trying to deliver you. I'm trying to make you unapproachable with men. But we so caught up in the minister, bishop, apostle. You know, I love Bishop Jakes. I love, you know, Paula White and all of them. I love them. You know, when I was incarcerated, Paula White, that was my girl. But my problem is so many people, if you don't come and tell them, oh, I heard Bishop Jake say da-da-da-da-da, but you come and say, you know what, I was listening to the radio last night and this no-name person said, I didn't hear it. Like God is only using great names. God will make your name great. He said, I use the foolish thing to confound the wise. But we want to, if it ain't from somebody profound or from somebody with a prophet behind their name, then we don't want to hear it.
You're right.
Let me,
and
let
God
me
ain't
ask,
in
let
there.
Let me add to that. I've been posting for the last couple of weeks between on tag because I use that as a format to minister to people because I see so much debauchery on there. I see so many women kind of exposing themselves, but they say they want good guys on there. So I started posting on there, and it filters right over to my Facebook page. And I've been saying this: why are these women they aiding and abetting the criminal? They're allowing men to do drive-bys. And they're doing breaking and entering on their body. And then they're accessory to the crime. This is the society we live in right now. You give up the goodies, and then you get mad at the goodie grabber.
That's right.
You're mad at him. Of course.
Uh-huh.
How can you? It's kind of like if I'm on crack and I break into my own parents' house, and then they go, you know, I'm guilty. But if somebody helped me, if they allowed me to come in there, they're aiding and abetting though.
That's right.
If they know I got a drug. If you know I got a drug problem, I had to emphasize. If you know I got a drug problem, you can't trust me. But if you let me in your house and I'm on crack, I'm gonna steal you blind. That's just the nature of the beast.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I ain't got nothing to do with. But this is what's going on in the churches nowadays. The same thing. We're elevating little Riri and little Renee and all these other kids. And nobody's talking, like the sister said, nobody's talking about sex. But guess what? Satan is talking about sex. Lil Wayne is talking about sex. Drake is talking about sex. When is the church going to start talking about sex in a biblical manner?
You
when are we going to start
saying
abstinence is holy? And if I say I'm going to be holy, if I say I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and body, that's the horizontal. That's the horizontal of the cross. Now, if I love my neighbor, I'm not going to violate my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do anything that's going to take away. I'm not going to do anything to hurt my neighbor, male or female. I'm not doing anything to hurt. That's the cross. That's the vertical. So we need to really check our salvation and see whether we really are in the faith, because it's one thing to say, and church, the way it's been doing business now, Chris, it's all about money. It's all about pomp. It's all about who's the big who. None of them folks are in my Bible. Jake's ain't in my Bible. I don't see a chapter that he wrote. Paula White didn't write a chapter in my Bible.
You're right.
These people can't save my soul. They didn't go to Calvary for me. I'm following what Jesus said.
That's right.
And Jesus is the one, is the standard. And
that's
everybody
right.
got a new revelation. No, you don't have you don't have a revelation if it's not in this word.
Come on now, sir.
But see, it's all about money. And you're not really taking none of the money with you. None of
that's
it.
That's right.
But we came and you said, naked I came in, naked I'm leaving out of here. I'm not taking nothing with me. I'm not even the one that's taking me. Christ is gonna snatch me up out of
Come on now.
But I think the problem the number one problem is we're man worshippers. Jeremiah 17:5 says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. I'm not saying we should not encourage and build up our pastors, but remember, they're men. They're men.
That's right.
They're not my savior.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us need to be focusing on Christ and his second coming. Because he's
right.
coming back. But I think we think he's coming back when we old and gray. And that's why we live with kind of this old cloak and dagger type relationship with him. We want to have, you know, we want to have little flings on the side and have these little, you know, I can hook up with this person, hook up with that person. No, God wants us to be holy.
That's right.
And holiness is it's the character of Christ. Be the commandment. Be ye holy because I'm holy. 1 Peter chapter 13, he tells us to gird up the loins of my mind. Stop thinking like the world.
That's right. We need
to stop thinking like the world thinks. The world thinks like the flesh. It caters to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We're not of the flesh. We are of the spirit if we are here.
Amen. Amen.
So we get this right, friends. I promise you, the church is going to continue. I did a series on the seven churches of Revelation about 2 years ago. And you look at those seven churches, you see only two churches that God had no condemnation, he had no complaints with.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia, and the Church of Thyatira, I think it was the Church of Thyatira, correct me if I'm wrong. But it was two churches out of five that he had no complaints with. Every one of these churches he's rebuking and telling them to get right. Because I'm telling you, be right. See, we got this all mentality. Ain't no perfect church. He said he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
That's holiness, man. It's not a holiness. It's not a denomination. That's the nature of Christ. He's holy.
Well, let me say this. This is one of the things the Holy Spirit taught me. When we are up under the anointing, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The reason why none of these churches are perfect, because Christ has no liberty in their church. They have a protocol, and they're going by a program. The churches that are going to have no spot, no blemish, is where the Spirit of the Lord is going to dwell, not just pass by.
Right.
Some churches, the Spirit of the Lord is just passing through. But in some churches, and most, to keep it real with you, it ain't these. I ain't got nothing against mega churches. But I've gone to preach to some churches that had 15 and 20 people. And when I tell you the Spirit of the Lord showed up and showed out, because there's more liberty, more freedom there where God can have his way. Folks, they're not caught up in the religion. They're not caught up in their titles. You know, I'm talking about going to the hood where, you know, people, babies have been kidnapped and raped and their mama's on drugs and, you know, and they don't know how they're going to pay their rent. They got a tenacity for God. They got faith that moves mountains. You know, people, when once God begins to bless them, they become lackadaisy. They, you know, they don't even pray fervently no more. They're not concerned with their sister bills not being paid. They're not concerned with covering other folks' kids, but they don't realize that what affects one affects us all indirectly. I don't care what your child is doing. If my child playing with your child can infect and affect my child. So I cover everybody at my kid's school. I cover everybody at my church. I cover everybody who they come in contact with, because people are getting to a place now where all they care about me, mine, and I, me, myself, and I. And that ain't kingdom. People don't care about kingdom no more. Let me tell y'all something. I mean, I be busy on Sunday nights. Even like right now, I'm cooking. I'm tending to, you know, to my family. But I believe in the woman of God. I believe in this program. So I tell people about it. Even when I can't call it, I'm telling people about it. You know why? Because I'm kingdom minded and I'm for the truth. And shows like this, they allow people to come on that are kingdom minded that's gonna speak the truth. And it's not people that there ain't too many real people that spread the good news about, you know, ministries like this. You understand what I'm saying? And so, my mouth is a lethal weapon. Everywhere I go with the truth on my mouth. And I tell people, you may not want me to come back because I'm gonna speak the truth. Yo, ain't nobody teaching little girls that their virginity is a gift to give to their husband and little boys. Nobody's teaching that. Nobody's teaching that less is better. You ain't got to show all your cleavage to make somebody like you. And nobody's teaching, you know what, this man, he may not be talking to you the way that he needs to be, but woman of God, you got an anointing in you that can lay hands on this man and call this man forth. You know, nobody's teaching the tenacity about get married and staying married. Nobody's teaching the power in marriage. See, marriage ain't just so you can come together and have sex so you won't be fornicating. There's power in marriage, and the devil hates that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
One of you, I believe it was Minister Kendrick, he touched on one of the social sites, which is TAG. Now, we've had people that call in and, you know, they speak about TAG and everything. Now, with TAG, but then the same people wonder why, just like you said, why they don't have a man or they don't have a husband, you know, or anything like that. And you know, I'm feeling comfortable and confident with my answer that I gave, you know, because this is what you're doing on a social site like this. You're sending pictures. Now they have this Uvu type thing, some Snapfish or Snapchat, something like that. It's where you're able to see the person that you're speaking to without being next to that person.
You know, oh, wow.
Yeah, they have all this other technology now where people feel like, okay, well, you know what, I can meet them on this social media site, and then I can connect with them on this like FaceTime type thing where I'm able to actually see them, and that's good enough. And I explain to them it's not good enough. You know, it's not good enough because now you're exposing yourself to these people that you don't know if they are who they even say that they are. And at the end of the day, now you want to bring them from Chicago. You know, you want to sit there and you want to bring them from Michigan, from all these other towns and states. You want to bring them over to your home now and welcome them in because you feel comfortable and confident because you met them through a social site and you've spoken to them on this FaceTime and Uru and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm asking you guys to just give some type of clarity and, you know, just encourage words of encouragement for your feedback on that. How do you feel about, you know, spiritual people, and I'm going to say spiritual people, you know, saved people who are actually accessing the social websites and they're able to make the connection and then use these other sites to be able to look at these person and, you know, look at the person and do these sexual things with this person and then bring this person home talking about he's going to be my boyfriend.
I have a problem with it. I can't speak for nobody. Now, and a lot of people at my church, they don't agree with me. I mean, I know women to this day that's dating, you know, off of those sites. But one thing I do know is you could be anybody you want on the Internet. I could sell you a dream quick, fast, in a hurry. And the Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. So especially for the sisters that's out there looking for husbands like that, that ain't Bible. You know, I don't understand why we can walk in faith and quote scripture for everything else, but when it comes to that,
right.
Just admit you're tired of waiting on God, and so you out there trying to help him. And every time in my word, I don't know about nobody else's Bible, but in my Bible, every time we try to help God, we mess up. I just think that's dangerous. Now, I'm not saying there ain't no good brothers or no good sisters out there, too, that's fed up and they looking. All I'm saying is that it is dangerous. Maybe because I watch CSI and Criminal Minds, I'm a junkie with that. You know, and because I've been affected by molestation and you know, the street life and stuff, I'm just really, really paranoid when it comes to stuff like that. So I'm 199% against Internet dating. I think it sends a bad message. I think that it's it shows lack of faith in God. It shows I'm 100% against it. That's me. Now the brothers, y'all go ahead and give me y'all opinion, but that's how I feel.
Well, I would say this, and this is in any relationship, whether you're Internet dating or you're doing face-to-face or however you're doing it, primarily, and it's been stated, you have to seek God first. Seek God in the individual. And if you don't find God in that individual, then you leave them alone. That's what you should do. If you are a Christian, if you are one that's endeavoring to do the will of God and submitting to the will of God, then you submit to the will of God in all aspects of your life. Amen. You have to follow what Proverbs 3:5-6 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. And he'll direct your path in all areas that pertain to you. And that's relationships. And primarily because God places such an importance on relationships between us individually in our marriages and in our families, so much so that it when you look at the Word of God, you will see that it mirrors what he asked of the relationship between us and him.
Right.
It really mirrors it because when the Bible joined Adam and Eve together and they became as one, the Bible says they were naked and they were not ashamed. He joined them together. He had no intention of them ever becoming separated from one another. He had no intention of them engaging in anything outside of what he had brought them together for. He had a specific purpose in mind. He established the first family with Adam and Eve. And then the Bible also tells us in Matthew 19:6, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And he joined us together in relationship with one another in marriage and family, and he also joined us together with him through Christ. And it's just, it's just really plain and clear. I think that's what needs to be more so than just specifically speaking about the acts of not just only just talking about sex in the church, but relationship with God and understanding what that entails, what that totally entails. It entails following, adhering, and submissive to being submitted to the will of God. He says, like Minister Kendrick said, "Be ye holy, for the Lord thy God is holy." That's what he says. He said it in the Old Testament. I believe it's in Deuteronomy or Leviticus somewhere, where it shows up initially. And he says, I mean, it's a constant. That's what he is. God doesn't change. That is not changed. I don't care what people, how they want to try to twist and flip the word of God, the word changes not. God himself changes not. And we have to, if we're really about being in a relationship with God or being who we say we are, then we're going to have to start representing, because we're not representing that. We're too busy chasing after everything else but holiness. I'm looking to be more prosperous in this, that, and the other. But be prosperous in the ways of God first. That's what you need. That's what we need. And he says, when you seek me first, the kingdom of God and my righteousness, I'll add everything, all things unto you. But I got to be first.
That's right.
He has to be first and foremost in our life. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And until we start recognizing and acknowledging that, and all these things that we're doing, you know, with one another, it's just, I mean, we're going through we're putting ourselves in a whole lot of a situation that we ought not be in. And unfortunately, the enemy, it's a major attack that he's perpetrating on the marriages and the families, because he knows, he recognizes the significance of it. That's why he's attacking it the way he does. The sad part is that we don't recognize the significance of it. And we're supposed to know better than that. We got the word. That song, I bring that up every now and then. The Mississippi Mass Choir, Ma Rainey, sings this song, says, they had the word. We got the word. Yeah. And that's the sad thing. We got the word, and yet we're still falling. We're just falling by the wayside, because the enemy is just, he's appeasing what, and we got to be honest, because it's our flesh. That's really the culprit here. It ain't just the enemy. We open up the door for him, but it's really us. It's really us. When we try to get into relationships, it's not about because we're looking for God. We got a purpose and got an intention in mind. We got some lustful desires that we can't seem to get a control of. I believe that's the reason why we had a problem at the beginning of the program, because the enemy did not want to hear two brothers talking about being celibate. He did not want that to go out, because that's contrary. That's contrary to what people would believe. A man,
even
in this day and age,
you got to be gay.
Something got to be wrong with you. That just cannot be so. Well, that's just your way of thinking, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to allow your way of thinking dictate to me what I know. See, when you're in a personal relationship with the Lord, there's nothing that's too hard for God.
Nothing.
And when you submit your will unto God, he can do all things but fail.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
All things but fail.
That's right. Wow, that's right. Now, Minister Kendricks, would you like to give your path as far as the internet dating and exposing yourself through like the FaceTime and stuff like that? Would you like to give your feedback on that? How do you feel about it?
Well, first of all, I want to emphasize I am not dating anybody. I use the social media for nothing but ministry to promote nothing but my program, the radio shows that I'm on, as well as my church. Because we have something going Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. So I'm using it for that purpose and that purpose alone. Now, in the process, I've met plenty of sisters on there, nice-looking sisters. I'm not going to lie. They're very attractive sisters. But I use that opportunity to be able to let them know that you're more than your body.
That's
and see,
right.
As an ex-whoremonger, as an ex-whoremonger, I can say that emphatically that, you know, I know what the devil does. I know how he plays us. I know how he gets us to believe that lie that our flesh needs to be gratified. But see, what it really is, we're like the remember that old movie, The Little Shop of Horrors, that plant that was there, Seymour. That's how our flesh is. It wants to be fed constantly, but it's insatiable. So you get played over and over because all you do is you feed it here, but then a few hours later, it's hungry for more.
Mm-hmm.
Hungry for more, and so on and so on and so on, and you just end up, you know, spinning around in a circle and you never satisfy. And that's why I can say that, hey, I didn't know I was going to be able to do this, but God did. And when I said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, and I trusted him, it became more and more of a daily, it became easier.
Yes.
And when you ask God to buffet your flesh, you ask him to put you under, hey, take the desire away from me. I don't even want to look at them. When I look at sisters, I don't want to look at them in that type of way, so I let them know. I don't want to have a lustful thought for you. The problem with the internet dating, when you have women that's, and the sad thing about it is, friends, is that you got people on there that on their profile, it says Christian. And they have to have some scripture there, but you got cleavage showing. You're showing your body parts sticking out. You know, a woman shouldn't have to profile herself in a negative way to try to get a man. You're not going to get a man. You're going to get played. You're going to get laid, played, and then he's gone on back to the next one. Because that's what you're promoting. You're telling him, I want sex. I want a husband. I want sex. We need to start, and I believe if there's some God-fearing men out there, we need to start checking the sisters. We need to start letting them know that, hey, that's not the way you get a man, not a God-fearing man. I mean, if you got sisters and I'm talking about biological sisters, if you got a mother, if your mother was on a social site and she got a nice figure, but she's sitting there with a picture up there, would you want to see your mother up there?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But you want to see any? I mean, but we on YouTube now. We got women on there popping it like it's hot with their granddaughter.
Yeah, Lord have mercy, Jesus.
That's how bad Satan is. He's busy, but he don't have to do too much because remember we're our own worst enemy. And
that's right.
I want to take us to some scripture because I believe that if we need to always go to the Word of God and realize that. As Brother Will, Pastor Will, is it Willoughby? Oh, I want to make sure I say his name right.
Weathersby, yes, sir.
Okay. I want to make sure that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is telling us to flee sexual immorality starting in verse 12. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I would not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and stomach for the food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. So if I didn't read nothing else no more for the rest of it, hey, I've already said enough. Your body,
it
belongs to the Lord. But I'll continue on. He says, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also what? Raise us up by his power. That's what I have right now. The only way I can be what I am right now is because of the power of the Holy Spirit in me. And when you say, not my will, but thy will be done, God is faithful. God is faithful. He will give you the power, the ability to lead, to die to self every day. Luke 9:23, Jesus was saying, unless a man pick up his cross daily, you're not going to be one of his. But see, this is the problem. We got part-time Christians wanting a full-time Savior and they're giving them part-time worship. and they wonder why they don't have the full-time benefits of Christ. God is not going to be playing.
Amen.
He wants all of us or he has none of us at all. And until we realize that the church is not a building, we're the living stones. We're the royal priesthood. We're the holy nation, according to 2 Peter chapter 2. If we're not that, then you're not his.
See, if we
want to use these words, oh, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. How are you going to be sanctified if you've been sleeping with Tom, Dick, and Harry? How are you going to be sanctified? That's not set apart.
That's right.
We're playing games with a holy God, and it's a dangerous thing. Look at David.
That's right.
In back in Psalm 32, he tells us very clearly what happened when he was when he had unconfessed sin. Now, this is a man after God's own heart, so how much more will God deal with any one of us?
Mm-hmm.
He tells us here in verse, he says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when
mm-hmm.
I what? When I kept silent, my bones wasted away.
Yes.
And I've been saying this all week. Some folks are in hospitals, not because they just got a sickness. They're in hospitals because they've been playing in sin. In the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're claiming to be Holy Ghost filled, but they're in the hospital because they've been playing, their faith has a bunch of holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hope. There's no spirit of truth running through them. And they're living like they always live, according to
mm-hmm.
the flesh. David also says in verse, he says, for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength dried up as by the heat of summer. David was agonizing in his sin. It was
mm-hmm.
because of sin.
Amen.
We cannot carry sin around with us. If you don't believe it, I'm a believer, brother, and we try to step out there and go get a sneak and get a peek, guess what? And we try to hide it,
mm-hmm.
God won't deal with us. See, we don't have to worry about you. One thing you don't have to worry about is with God's people, God will take us all to the woodshed if we're his people.
Mm-hmm.
The person that tells me that he's living it, shacking up, she's shacking up, and they refuse to repent, and they say, I'm okay with God, I know they belong to Satan. They're goats pretending to be sheep. They're cares trying to be weak.
Mm-hmm.
They're not out of here. So you can't live in sin and claim to be a child of God and not be chastened, not be disciplined, because he
mm-hmm.
disciplines those he loves.
That's
and he
right.
says if he don't discipline us, we're not illegitimate child.
That's
we're
right.
an illegitimate child. So we have to, if we don't get back, and I think this particular sin is so grievous. We were talking about this in our discipleship class at our church today. Sexual immorality, it not only affects the other person, it doesn't just affect us mentally, it affects us, our bodies. It affects
right.
us by, because he said, if I lay down with a prostitute, I become one with her. I become
mm-hmm.
one with her. Every person that we lay down with outside of being in a covenant relationship, we took a little bit of their soul with them. And you don't know who
mm-hmm.
these people land with. You don't know what they're practicing. People are practicing voodoo, witchcraft, all kinds of satanic worship going on nowadays.
Amen.
They're part of this whole New World Order and Illuminati and stuff. They're worshiping Lucifer.
That's
you don't
right.
know what they're taking on. They got spirits. People got spirits. You build up soul ties with these folks.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder why you can't stop going over there at 3 in the morning. I don't want
that's
no
right.
part of that no more.
I know that's
if
right.
I have to die, if I die alone, I'll die with Christ. I
mm-hmm.
die in Christ. But I don't want no part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
I know. I'm gonna say everybody that's listening, I'm sure that they learned today, because I know I learned today. Just saying, you know, I hope everyone did pay attention, and I'm gonna say I hope all of the women, especially, you know, paid attention. But I do want the brothers to make sure that they pay attention too, you know, because there's definitely some learning going on. There's some teaching, and there's some learning on our behalf. But with that being said. We are at the end of the show, and I do want to use this time to thank everyone for calling in. Of course, thank our special guest, Minister Kendrick. Of course, thank Minister Weathersby, all the callers, all the listeners. A special thanks to Minister Lisa Dixon for calling in. She does have a book out called Free, and I do not have the information in front of me where you can purchase the book, but I'm sure you can go to the website. I believe it is Samora Moore, and you can type in Lisa Dixon or Minister Lisa Dixon, and you'll be able to get your copy of that. That book does. That book is her testimony. It's part of her testimony of what she's been through, what she's done, and how she's made it this far with her being a minister now, and as well as the testimony is very detailed as far as her being a gangbanger, different types of just negative things that was in her life, and how she did end up going to jail, and then she turned her life around, and you know, now she's a very strong woman of God who was able to write her book, give her testimony. She also did her own website on Wix.com. I believe I'm right, but once you go to her website, Wix.com, you'll be able to read up exactly on what she's about and what she's doing and, you know, where she's headed at this point. In her book, if I remember correctly, it does also have a different name, where it's her testimony, but because a lot of the people are still alive and they're still going through things in their life, she did not use everyone's real name in the book. But
Hello?
You there?
I'm still here.
Okay. It's definitely a good book to read, so anyone can always go and pick that up. And also, I did hear, Minister Weathersby, the title of your book was Unless God Build the House. What scripture was that from? Because you guys spoke about that scripture tonight.
Yeah, the scripture that that God gave me that from was from Psalms 127:1a. And again, it's a book on building relationships, but primarily it focuses on marriages.
Right.
And where can you go to pick up your book as well?
Well, amen. We have through the publisher ZulonPress.com and Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Both of those have it under ebook and also paperback.
And that's definitely a book to go pick up as well. And that book will definitely cover any question that you might have, any situation that you're going through in your life. And unless God has built the house, the relationship, the marriage, 9 times out of 10 is not going to work. So you need that solid foundation, and you definitely have to make sure that you have God as the leader of your house. The best relationship that you're supposed to have is the relationship between you and Christ itself. So please
hear
that book as well. And Minister Kendrick also has a Blog Talk Radio show that he is doing. And I know for all the callers that are here right now that did not hear where to go to the phone number that they can connect and listen to the show, if you wouldn't mind giving that information out again, please.
Yes. I'm on Monday through Sunday on the Prodigal Church Hour. You can Google that at Minister Big Ken 65. The phone number there is 646-200-3863, 646-200-3863. I have over about 500 sermons on my website from 2011 to up to now, 2010 up to now, rather. And also I'm on Saturday nights on our church website on His Word, His Way at Blog Talk Radio, and that calling number there is 858-365-5507. You can go to the website www.hiswordhisway.org. We're in the Houston area. Like I said, I'm on 7 days a week, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Sunday, and then on Saturday night on His Word, His Way on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And all we're trying to do, friends, all I'm trying to do, my goal is to leave here with Christ. Only person I really care about pleasing at this point is my Lord and Savior, and I want to hear Him say to me, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." So that means I'm going to continue to practice what I preach, and I definitely don't want to be a hypocrite. So if you saw me doing something wrong, hey, pull my coattail, please. Don't let me fall off.
All right.
Amen. Now we did have, I believe Rachel was calling in for prayer. I'm going to ask Minister Kendrick, if you can just do a general prayer just to cover GQ Palace, Rachel as well, who is a part of GQ Palace at the same time, and anyone that is listening that was not able to press 1 or too nervous to press 1, whatever the case might have been. But I'm telling you, I completely agree with the devil did not want to, and on the phone, on the air, that was celibate, to be able to communicate and get across everything the way that you guys did, because I was having some technical difficulties here. But
wow.
The show was definitely a success, and I'm going to tell you, there's very rarely do I have the technical difficulties on our Sunday show. I mean, during the week, you know, I do have it, you know, because I do the switchboard for some of the other shows, but we do have it a little bit during the week. But on Sundays, Minister Weathersby can tell you, I very rarely have, you know, technical difficulties on the Sunday show, unless it was a song, you know, like when I played this song, Fred Hammond, No Weapon Formed Against Us Shall Prosper. When I played that song, it was some technical difficulties, you know, because I was going through some things and nobody wanted to hear that song. You know, I'm going to say the devil didn't want to hear it because it was all messed up. And tonight, for some reason, I got two laptops in front of me. Then there's no way both of them could have went down at the same exact time. So that was definitely the devil because I'm fully equipped here with the laptop and the iPad, and for some reason, guess what? Technical difficulty.
Yeah, we know the enemy is.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we know that the enemy does not want any time. We're promoting holiness. We're promoting the cross. You know, I take this very seriously because souls are at stake. You know, I know Brother Pastor Weatherby, I know he feels the same. I can detect that in his spirit that, hey, if a man has been celibate almost 20 years, I know he sold out for the kingdom. And I you know, you can't tell. Hey, I can't compare to that. It's just a testimony to the power of God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Because in and of ourselves, we wouldn't have done it.
Right. But you know what? There's so many people who, you know, who do believe that sex is the most important thing of any type of relationship, and each relationship they're in, you know, they have to have sex in order to have that connection with that person. So hearing, you know, two brothers on the air that is discussing it tonight, like, you know what, no, I'm celibate. I've been celibate for 20 years. I've been celibate for, I think you said, a year. And to hear that, that's a wake-up call to everyone, letting them know, this isn't something that you have to do all the time on a 24/7 basis. You have to make sure that you're able to have that connection with that God, with God, and you want to make sure at all times that spiritual connection, and you don't have to be sexual with someone or intimate with someone in order to have that connection with them. You know, so that enlightens everyone. You know, myself as well. You know, so. I want to thank you definitely for sharing both of your testimonies, and because I know it's uplifting, I'm going to push this link out, this show, to make sure that everyone understands, because there's a lot of, I'm going to say men now, I'm going to say a lot of men, you know, feel like, you know, if they don't have, you know, that intimate relationship, that, oh, there's something wrong, you know, or if they can't be intimate with the first person that they met, or if they want to go to the club and meet someone and bring that person home, automatically they say, okay, well, sex has to be done, you know, so... I want to commend you both, you know, both for...
Thank you, Lord.
...doing God's work and letting him move you to the point where you're able to elevate it, to explain it, and to be able to just deliver that message to other people, letting them know that, listen, this is possible. You know, this is my
life. Amen.
I'm able to tell you about it.
Yes, sir.
I definitely want to thank you for that. But Minister Kendrick, if you wouldn't mind doing a prayer for us in closing... But before we do that, does anyone else have anything that they want to share or any information that they want to give out to anyone?
I would just like to, before we go, I'd just like to give a word of encouragement to the men out there that, brothers, you know, you don't have to be labeled as that, you know, that wolf or that deviant. You can be holy, but it starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're not,
Amen.
If you're just in the church, and you have not been born again, then you're wasting your time. I've said this many times on my own program. If I'm going to hell, I'm going first class, and I'm not gonna deny myself any of the luxuries of this world. I'm gonna go and fulfill every lust and every pleasure I can get out of it. But I'm not going to hell because my desire is to serve Christ for the rest of my time on this planet, and that means that I want to die every day to my own will and live for Him. So I want to just say that.
it starts with a personal relationship. There's no magical formula to this. It's all about surrendering and saying, Lord, I give up me. I give up me. You don't need to say a 15-minute prayer. You don't need to walk an aisle. It's about you saying yes to Jesus and no to the flesh, the devil, and the world.
Amen.
And mean it. Because see, his Christ will come in. He'll do the rest.
Amen.
Remember, we used to see those old silly bumper stickers that God is, God is my pilot. I'm the co-pilot. I'm not flying nothing. When I tried to fly, I ran into mountains. I crashed and burned.
That's right.
I ain't flying nothing. I learned that, hey, I'm doing good, Lord. What you want? Where you want me at? Get in the back, and I got you. So, yes, sir. Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you say, Daddy, because I crashed too many times into mountains. So I'm not trying to fly nothing. I ain't trying to drive nothing.
Amen.
Amen.
And Sister Levine, I concur with Minister Kendricks. It's daily surrendering. Daily surrendering, because the Bible tells us that we're to die to sin daily. We mortify the deeds of the flesh daily.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
every morning,
yes,
God gives us new mercies. He's given us opportunity every single day. And we have to do that every day, because unfortunately what we do not do at the point of salvation is we don't surrender entirely what we can, because God is able to deliver us at the point of salvation completely. He has that power. But because he knows us, and his grace abounds, he allows us to do this daily, and we need to make sure that we do it daily, because we don't know. We don't know when he's coming back. He can show up in any moment. While we're yet talking, the Lord could show up. And not only that, while we're yet talking, we could speak our last breath. Amen.
Jesus.
So we have to surrender and be truthful and honest about that thing. And it's total surrendering. We say we trust the Lord. And like I talked to somebody about this today, about the symbol on our money, saying, in God we trust. But we only trust God for so much. Because if we totally trusted God the way that we, say that we trust God, then you know what? There would be a whole lot of difference that would be representative in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
Because when we trust God and we turn and surrender to him, then what he does through the power of the Holy Ghost, he transforms us and starts to mold us and shape us into that what we should be.
Hallelujah.
I concur with my brother. Absolutely.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
So in closing, Minister Kendricks, if you can please lead us out in prayer.
Yes, I will. What was the lady's name that you mentioned? What was her name? Rachel? Was it Rachel?
Yes, Rachel.
Rachel, okay. All right. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here today, Lord. Some people, Lord, did not even wake up this morning, Lord God, but you granted us by your grace, Lord. You granted us the opportunity to wake up. You granted us the opportunity to be about our business today, or go to work, or go to church. We just thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for programs like this where men and women of God are allowed to come forward, Lord, and just speak and edify and build up and encourage, Lord God, because we know, Lord, that truth is a rarity in this day and age, Lord. We know that in these times, Lord, we see the great apostasy taking place in many churches, Lord, in many places around the world, Lord. Many people are leaving the faith, Lord, because they never were really in the faith, Lord. They just had a form of godliness and denied the power, Lord. But we bless your name this morning, Lord, this evening, Lord God, and we just lift you up, Lord, thanking you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you are the one, you are the Alpha and Omega, Lord, the beginning and the end. And one day, Lord, you're coming back for your bride without spot or wrinkle. One day you're coming back for your people, Lord God. You're not coming back for a church building. You're coming back for living stones, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people who are sanctified, people who have been born again, people who have been spirit-filled, Lord God, people who are walking in holiness, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you will not be fooled, you will not be mocked, you will not be scoffed at, Lord. One day you are coming back for your church, Lord, and those of us who have been set apart, we will be ready, Lord.
Those of us who continue to crucify the flesh daily, Lord, we will be ready. Those of us, Lord, who are dying daily to our own desires, Lord, we're looking with spiritual eyes in every direction, Lord God, seeking what direction or where how to be discerning, how to know the signs of the times, Lord, the seasons, Lord, that are going on, so we don't be caught off guard, Lord. We know, Lord God, the devil is out there. He is on his job to kill, steal, and destroy, Lord, but you have given us life and life more abundantly, Lord, so that your people do not have to be dumbed down. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, Lord, but you've given us wisdom, and you said if any of us lack wisdom, we don't have to, you would give it liberally. You said you would not hold back wisdom from us, Lord. So we thank you, Lord God. We ask for right now, give us wisdom, Lord, so we can applying the word of God in the right application to do your will, Lord. We don't want to be caught off guard. We don't want to be ignorant of the enemy's tactics, Lord God. And let us confess our sins daily, Lord. Let us confess every day, Lord. Let us confess those things deep inside of us. Let us open our hearts up, Lord, and let you so you can go in every closet of our lives, Lord. Whatever we're all struggling with something, we're all dealing with something, Lord God, but you want us to come clean with everything. You want us to lay everything. You want us to be open and naked and exposed before you, Lord, because you are holy and you called us to be holy. Father God, we know, Lord, you are the great I am. We lift up Sister Rachel right now, Lord. We don't know all that she's going through, Lord, but you do, Lord, and we ask, Father God, that you would touch her circumstance, that you would give her peace, Lord, from her head down to her toes, Lord, that you would give her the peace of God that surpasses all understanding.
Yes, God.
That she would not be wearied, Lord, that she would not be tossed to and fro, Lord, knowing that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and that you are the Alpha and Omega. You have her best interest, Lord God. Agape love is not sloppy love. Agape love says, I know my creation, and I have your best interest. If you just trust me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body, then love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Thank you, Lord God, that you showed the greatest act of love when you sent your son to be murdered on a cross, Lord. He was beaten and broken for our transgressions, Lord. So how can we give anything less but our all back to you, Lord? You said in Romans 12:1-2, Lord, you beseech it. You said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you no longer be conformed to this world, but that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Every sin that we commit, Lord, starts in our mind, because we all have to think about it, Lord, before we start putting feet to it.
Yes, God.
Lord, let us have the mind of Christ, Lord. Let us gird our minds up as Peter told us, Lord. Let us think on holy things. Let us walk in the Spirit so we will not carry out the deeds of the flesh.
Yes, sir.
We will have no excuse when we stand before you, Lord. None whatsoever. I ask that you bless the host of this radio ministry. I thank her for allowing me to come on, Lord. Bless Minister Witherby, Lord. We lift him up and his ministries, Lord. We ask, Father God, to protect him from his head to his toes, Lord. Continue to bless him. Use him, Lord, to reach out to those out there in the lost and dying world, Lord. May we be soldiers wherever we're at, Lord. Each and every one of us has been given a mandate to go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's already done. It's an imperative, Lord. We already should be out there doing it. There's no such thing as a selfish Christian. But we have been bought with a price. We're not our own. So, Lord, let us live like this. Give us the fire, Lord. As Jeremiah, let there be fire in our bones today, Lord. And we would take this gospel to the street. But first of all, Lord, let us own it. Let us know Christ for ourselves before we can go out and tell anybody anything. Let us have light shining out of us, Lord. Let the world know that we are saved, Lord, because we live different than them. Let all those around us, Lord, let them wonder, what is it about you? If they're going to hate us, Lord, let them hate us for doing righteousness. Let them hate us for doing holy things. Let them hate us for not compromising. You said that they would know us by our fruit. Let us be demonstrating the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and most of all, Lord, self-control. this day, Lord. We thank you. We pray that these prayers was a sweet-smelling fragrance in your nostrils.
Yes, God.
May it comfort each and every one that heard it today, Lord. In Jesus' mighty, matchless name, we thank you and praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to tell everyone I wish you all a safe, productive, and prosperous week. And I would look forward to speaking to all of you if not next Sunday, same time.
Amen.
This is Sunday, 7 p.m. from 7 to 9. God bless you all.
God bless you. Thank you, sister, for having me on. God bless.
You're welcome.
Minister Witherby, hit me up on Facebook.
All right, sir. God bless you.
Thank you.